We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
To the Coachable Podcast. I'm your host, Tori Gordon, and today is such a great day in studio because I'm joined by one of my absolute best friends who I respect, I admire, and I look up to. Christian Eklund is here in the house. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so happy to sit and talk with you.
Yes. So for those who don't know, Chris is one of the best live event coordinators that I know in the wellness and health space. She is a nutrition coach. She's a yoga instructor. She's a mindset mentor. And this girl throws some epic events, and she's become like a sister to me, really. I mean, since we met, I can't even put how long has it been at this point? Has it even been a year?
About a year.
A year. Yeah. And we met because of the glorious field of social media, and
I slid into your DMs.
Yes, she slid into my DMs. I was running a breathwork event here in Vegas called Elevate, and she had a Elevate Wellness Events company. And so we were both kind of doing our own wellness things, and she slid into my DMs. It's like, hey, I think we should meet. We got together at Whole Foods,
yeah,
had a smoothie, and that was the beginning of our friendship that has like completely blossomed in a way I could never have expected, and am just so deeply grateful for the profound friendship and healing that's come out of the relationship we've built and all of the amazing impact that you are making in the world through Live Unlimited and just through your presence and how you show up in the world. And so I wanted to have you on the show, not only to let my audience know who you are and how important you are in my life and for them to get another glimpse of the types of people I personally surround myself with, but because you have such a powerful story of your own that I know when people hear will help inspire and motivate people to get into the driver's seat of their own life and take control of their future. And so that's where I want to like start with you, because I think so many people can look at you online because you do have a beautiful online presence. You've worked really hard to establish yourself in the health and wellness game. You are one of the leading people in Las Vegas doing this work at Area 15 and running Radiance Festival for the second time. For those who don't know, Radiance Festival is the one and only music and wellness festival in Las Vegas. Started last year. We're about to run it again, run it back in June. Yes. It's going to be epic. And I think people can look at that and think, wow, you know, that's amazing. How did she get there? Or I want to be like that. Or I would love to do what she does, and think you've had it easy and think these things have just come naturally to you. And I know, being your friend, that that's far from the truth, and that you've had your own personal journey to get where you are today and make the impact you make today. And that's where I want to start.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. I'm so grateful for you, and our friendship has just expanded my capacity for love and connection. And so I just want to say that I'm so thankful for you showing up how you do. And yeah, that's Wow. My heart is so full.
Yeah.
I think that's it, right?
That's it. We can wrap it up. Yeah, but tell people, like, because you grew up in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. This is home.
Yes.
And and Vegas is a big, small town. So you know a lot of people. You're super well connected. And you were in the industry for a long time, in the entertainment world. And that's a completely different world from the space that you're in. So take me back to growing up in Vegas and kind of your journey to getting to where you are now. Just like give people some background on who you are and where you come from.
Yeah. Yeah. Born and raised in Las Vegas. So it's interesting because people say, you know, what was it like growing up in Las Vegas? And to me, it's tough to answer that question because it's home to me. Mm-hmm. So it's normal to me. I did grow up actually very religious. So I don't think I really had too much exposure to Vegas because I was heavily in the church from the time I was a baby. So, you know, a lot of growing up was in the church. It was, and Vegas is actually pretty suburban once you get off the strip. So, yeah, growing up in the church, and I didn't really get a taste of Vegas, I think, until I was probably, you know, out of high school. And that's when I started to work on the strip and I started to work in nightclubs. And yeah, it's a much different world than the health and wellness space. But I actually have seen throughout the years how they kind of interact with each other a little bit. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, like the city is, it's small. And so, yeah, I, you know, was very, I was a good girl, you know, most of my life. I didn't really party. I got good grades. I was very heavily involved in church. I was on the worship team. I, you know, went to a church camp every year. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't until I really got out of high school, you know, I had a tough childhood. There was a lot of trauma in my family. And it was really kind of towards the end of high school that I started to, I guess you'd say, rebel or act out. Just trying, I had a lot of anger in me. I had a lot of pain in me. And so it was towards the end of high school that I think I really started getting into partying and drinking. And that's kind of where everything took off. You know, it was a stark contrast to the good girl that I had grown up being in the church. And yeah, it kind of led me down a darker path for many years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Vegas is one of those places that without a strong foundation of self, it's easy to get lost. Brandon Collinsworth, my friend Brandon says, he calls it the neon dojo.
Oh yeah.
You know, he's like, you can find whatever you're looking for here. And so I can see, I imagine myself, cause I relate so much to your upbringing in childhood and the good girl persona. And that was me to a T. What was it like working in the industry here?
Yeah, it is wild.
Yeah. I mean, because people have an idea of Vegas. Like, is it like paint the picture for people? Is it what people think or what? I don't know what people think. I know what I used to think, which I only thought of nightlife and strip life. And when they hear people living in Vegas, like, how do you live in Vegas? Like, I can't spend 3 days there without going home and being like, I need a break. What was it like working in the industry?
Yeah, it is a completely upside down lifestyle. I mean, when I was in the nightclubs, you know, you would work all night and kind of sleep during the day. And then, you know, your job was to pretty much go to the gym. And when you weren't working, you were out networking at other clubs. And if you don't have that strong foundation, like you said, it can pull you in because Vegas, I call it the adult Disneyland. Mm. Like, you don't really have to grow up here.
A lot of Peter Pans in Vegas.
Yeah. You can live your whole life just partying and if that's what you want to do. And so if you don't have the strong foundation, I don't necessarily think that it's the nightlife industry. I think, or the nightclub specifically, I think it's just the lifestyle mm-hmm. that you have to live when you work in these places, you know. And I also know it's evolved a lot. I actually am still in the nightlife industry as well. I do events, you know, in Vegas, and it has evolved a lot, but it was really tough for me as someone who did not have a strong foundation, as someone who did not have a strong sense of self. You know, there's a lot of temptation around, mm-hmm. All different types of temptations, and without knowing who you are and what you stand for, it is easy to get pulled in. You know, I started drinking heavily, and, you know, experimenting with other, you know, substances, and, you know, it was just really the people that I surrounded myself with. And not everybody is like that. There's a lot of really successful people in the nightlife industry who have their own businesses. Mm-hmm. They go into work, they do a good job, and they run their own businesses on the side. So it's really just about like what kind of fortitude you have mm-hmm. going into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. How did that end up playing out in your life? You know, getting, having that type of lifestyle, having to keep up with your energy levels and your ability to be on, you know, if you're bartending or you're working in the clubs or whatever, like how did that end up unfolding over time for you?
Yeah, it very quickly went down.
Yeah. You know,
in my life. Mm-hmm. I worked at a company simultaneously where I was throwing, like beer festivals. And so I was traveling a lot while I was in college, traveling pretty much every other weekend. And we were drinking a lot. And then getting into the nightlife industry more, it very quickly went downhill for me. And I realized that I couldn't really maintain it. So on top of me pretty much drinking constantly, not necessarily at work, but all the time, on top of that, and then me being in a like horribly abusive relationship at the time, I could not maintain. I mean, to the point where I was sleeping like maybe a couple hours a night. And it really started to affect my mental health to the point that I completely got lost. I ended up leaving my good job, going to open up another property, and which it didn't do very well, unfortunately. And I just completely left because I couldn't handle showing up for work really mm-hmm. anymore. Like mm-hmm. it was, I went into a pretty dark hole, mm-hmm. you know, for a lot of personal reasons, but also being in that environment where people were drinking and partying all the time certainly didn't help.
Yeah. No, yeah. It doesn't. I mean, I am thinking of people right now in my life that I know and love so much, and from afar can see how influenced they are, you know, by the people that they surround themselves with. And, you know, one thing I've learned is that we all want the same thing. We all want love. We all want to be accepted, and we all want to fit in, and we all want to belong. And we all go about different ways of trying to achieve that, you know? And there were certainly times in my life where I tried to fit in places that I wasn't meant to fit in, you know? And there was a part of me that always felt disconnected, or like I was trying to mold or contort myself to be this person that I not necessarily was, but I thought that was what everyone was doing around me. You know what I mean? Was that the case for you, you know, or was it something else that you were looking for at that time or trying? Was it that you were trying to fit in, or was it trying to run away from something? What was like?
I think it was both, extremes of both.
Yeah.
And this is really, I think you'll hear a lot of people in recovery explain the same experience where I never quite felt like I fit in my whole life. Like I very much felt like an outcast. And alcohol made me feel myself. I would dance, I would be open, I would be fun. And it is how I felt okay being around other people. At the same time, I was certainly running from my pain that I didn't even really know that I had because I didn't feel my emotions most of my life. I wasn't even aware of what pain I was in. I was just trying to not feel anxious. I was just trying to make sense of things. I had no sense of self. And so I was probably trying to find that, you know, and I found it in alcohol.
That's so true of what you just said is I'm trying to, it's like, maybe I'm in this, you know, it's like, where am I? Who am I? Maybe I'll find myself here. And I think that's the thing, man. It's like, when we don't know who we are, we look outside of ourselves for other people to tell us who we are. And sometimes what it takes a moment or a time in your life where you start to stop looking outside and start looking within. And I'm curious, like, what was the turning point for you? Because I'd love for you to share what your relationship with alcohol is now and what that journey has been like for you. And what was the catalyst for starting an inward journey?
It's interesting when people ask me about the catalyst because I can't quite put my finger on it. However, I grew up with my mother, bless her heart. She's also in recovery and we're so close right now. So I know that she loves when I tell our story, but I grew up with a mother who basically really reflected self-awareness, even though she struggled with addiction. And even though she, you know, it wasn't easy growing up, you know, for her, obviously in her story, but also for me, you know, being the child of someone who is an alcoholic, but she always instilled this sense of self-awareness. So I always had that. And my relationship with alcohol went downhill in a very bad way. I got out of the abusive relationship and after that it spiraled quickly. I was essentially drinking 24 hours a day. When I was not sleeping, I was drinking. I would wake up in the morning. I would have a drink before I went to work. I would drink throughout the day. I couldn't stop. I cannot think of a time that I stopped in many years. I ended up, you know, living in my dad's guest bedroom. I somehow, by the grace of God, graduated college, but ended up living in my dad's guest bedroom. And I, at that point, knew that I had a problem, but I had no idea how to stop, nor did I really have any inkling that I wanted to. It was what felt good, you know, and I started listening to podcasts. This is like kind of back when podcasts were still fairly new. I started listening to podcasts because I've always loved to learn. And I was listening to, you know, some self-development podcasts, some that weren't self-development podcasts, but I just started to get these ideas in my head of like what a healthy life looks like, just learning about it for the first time. And it was about a year and a half of me just kind of listening to podcasts. Some of them were like Dr. Drew's podcast was a big one for me. And he speaks about addiction. So some of it was me just learning about addiction. And how other people have gotten sober. And some of it was just me listening to general self-development and realizing that I had control over my life. And so I woke up one morning, I was super sick. I always got sick pretty much every day. I was super sick to the point that I couldn't have my morning drink. I literally was like so sick. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I credit it to God, now that I look back, it was 100% God, because I just stopped. And that is, first of all, dangerous for somebody who drank like me. And second of all, that very rarely happens. Mm-hmm. But I just knew, after gaining all of this information, I knew that there was a better life. And from being raised by my mother, who always showed me and told me, there's nothing you can't do if you don't apply yourself. Mm-hmm. The opportunities are unlimited, but you have to work for it. You have to take control. Mm-hmm. Even though she was also deep in her own process, she was able to teach that to me. Mm-hmm. And so I think it was just a nice little mixture of me learning and, you know, thank God for technology that it was out there and I was able to have this easy access to learn. But also, you know, I credit a lot towards my mom and the mindset that she gave me and what she taught me.
Yeah. So powerful. I mean, it's such, hearing you share that is such a contrast from the woman that I know. You know, I don't know that version of you except through the stories that you tell. And it shows me the power of self-transformation, that you truly are a different woman. You know, you are, the people can change.
Yeah.
The people can change. And it's the importance of this show and why I do this show so religiously and why I'm so committed to it is because there's someone out there listening to this episode that needs the words that you're sharing that might be the activator for them to realize that there is another way. And that's my story too. I mean, when I was in the depths of my darkest, darkest days, I started listening to a show that inspired and supported the little seed of hope that I had, and it watered it and it grew and it grew and grew. Every time I decided to, you know, cling on to the potential of what could be versus what has been. And I think so much we get kind of rocked, lulled to sleep with the familiar habits and of our life, that we kind of drift into this unconscious state of not even realizing, you know, how long it's been since we've really connected to ourselves or heard our own inner voice or whatever, because life is chaotic and it's loud. And if we don't have the practices, which might start with just listening to a podcast, of quieting ourselves and hearing the part of us that is really trying to guide us somewhere, our inner compass that's like whispering, like there's something else, there's more. And so whenever I talk to somebody who has not only tapped into that voice, but watered that seed, and then now they're living on the other side of what can happen when you allow yourself to let go of the familiar pattern and way of being that is so deeply ingrained and so habitual. Like you were saying, you're like, this was my life every day for several years. And then one day you just stop. It shows me the power of the mind, the power of the mental fortitude and commitment that it takes. But talk to me about the discipline that was required. I mean, were there, because your story is so different, I mean, than so many people. What was, when you decided, I don't want to do this anymore, take me through that next phase. I mean, were there times where you were tempted? I mean, I'm sure you showed up to work and people are like, what do you mean? Or like you showed up to your friend group and you're like, what do you mean you're not drinking anymore? Like, you're Chris, like you drink, you know what I mean? How did you deal with that? What discipline was required? What did people think? Talk me through that.
Yeah. I channeled all of my, I'm a very type A personality, mm-hmm. which you're familiar with.
Hardest worker. Yeah. One of the hardest workers I know.
I channeled all of it into fitness and nutrition. So at that time, I don't think I was necessarily tapped into the self-love part or even the understanding that I had an intuition that was guiding me. It wasn't that deep yet. But I knew I had put on 65 pounds. I knew that I had been fit before in my life, and I had been like obsessed with fitness and nutrition podcasts because it was very rooted in my ego, and how I wanted to look,
be perceived.
Be perceived. But I mean, it was also a gift, you know? And, so I channeled everything into fitness and nutrition. I started going to CrossFit, yoga. I went keto. I started cooking all my meals. It was like every night, instead of me getting home and drinking and going to my room and just kind of drinking until I fell asleep, I would get home and I would meal prep, and I just become obsessed with this. And that, I feel like a lot of addicts share that, a very similar personality trait. So I think that that happens for a lot of people who get sober.
It's just like find something else to obsess over that's more healthy.
Yeah. It's just that addictive personality. Yeah. I became addicted to fitness and getting fit.
Yeah. Well, that's a good point that we can have addictions of all kinds.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I think that it certainly probably did get to an unhealthy spot for me, but at the time it was much better for my life, for my mental health, to be obsessed with that. And I just didn't have trouble telling people I'm not drinking anymore. I wouldn't say I lost friends, but I just stopped getting invited to things because people, you know, they either don't want me to be in that situation or they feel judged because I'm not drinking.
Right. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, a lot of people fell off, but I started to meet a lot of great people too in the fitness space. You know, I became obsessed quite quickly. I became certified in Pilates. I became a Pilates instructor. I became obsessed with the studio that I started going to here in Las Vegas, True Fusion, who I was with them for many, many years. And I was like, this is what I want to do. And so I just like started emailing people. I would like find their emails online and be like, I want to teach for you. And they were like, okay, like get a certification. And so I did that. And then I just started to put myself in different rooms.
Yeah.
With different people. And it was a stark contrast to the rooms that I had been in before. Once I stopped. There was one other time that I did go on vacation a few months later, and I was like, oh, it's my birthday. I'm going to see if I can have a drink like a normal person. And I tried, and it turned out to be a week long thing that I couldn't stop. Bender is a nice way to put it, but I got myself out of that as well.
Yeah.
And then I never really had a craving for it. I have never.
How long have you been sober now?
7 years. Yeah.
I mean, it's just such an inspiring, miraculous turnaround and story. It truly is. I mean, when I hear of many friends, we have many friends who are sober. And there is a big sober community here in Vegas, which people may or may not know about. And I think that's important. Just because you live in Las Vegas doesn't automatically mean, whatever you think that means.
Yeah.
There are people with really, one of the things that you and I are part of is one of the greatest communities of people I've ever been a part of, that have a very healthy balance with work and life and play and all of that combined. And, you know, you're not the first person who's come on this show and talked about their relationship with addiction. But I'm always moved, because when I think about addiction of any kind, and I think about my own that I've had and struggled with in the past, it wasn't alcohol, but I'm sure they're whether it's social media or my
relationships,
love, all of the things. I think it's Gabor Mate who says, you know, we shouldn't ask the question, why the addiction? We should ask the question, why the pain? Yeah. And for those out there who are listening to this, it's not about judging yourself for the pattern or the habitual state of being addicted to anything that is important. It is understanding and getting to the root cause of what is causing you to choose those behaviors in the first place. What is the pain that hasn't been felt or processed, or the thing, the event that was so overwhelming for you that you haven't been able to deal with, that has now caused you to numb or to choose whatever you're choosing as a way of coping with your life.
Yeah.
What do you have to say to people who are in that place, who may be struggling?
Yeah. I always, one of my favorite things to say is alcohol was never my problem. It was my solution. And it's interesting because I do love telling my story because I believe that it will help people. But I also, when I think about myself, that doesn't come up. That's not in the overall view that I have of myself, is that I'm recovering, or
it's not part of your identity.
Yeah. It's not part of my identity. It was for a very long time, until I realized the power of the story that you're telling about yourself. And I realized that I was holding on to this old story of I'm a recovering addict. Right. But it, for me, the biggest lesson I've learned over the years is that everything comes down to love. And that's a very broad statement, but when it comes to addictions, it's about self-love. And I think people who struggle with addiction, I didn't even understand the lack of self-love that I had. Nor did I really have any kind of idea of what that meant. It wasn't until I really started getting deep into, self-development after I got sober and started going to therapy that I even realized that that was a thing. So just like we talked about, the lack of foundation, that self-love is your foundation. And I acted my way into self-love. I took steps. I did not love myself when I got sober, but showing up to the gym, making my meals, saying, I'm not going to go out tonight. Those were all little acts that built my self-esteem and built my self-love. And it wasn't until I was, further down the process that I realized that I was ever lacking that in the first place. So I think if I were to talk to somebody that was in an addiction and they know that they're in an addiction, because I didn't know for a long time, but they know that they have a problem, I would first say, check in with, how are you loving yourself? How is your foundation with yourself? Because almost always, an addiction is the evidence of some kind of misalignment or disconnection from self.
Yeah.
And, disconnection from, we can go into others' disconnection from the collective, yeah, but it all really comes down to this connection with yourself.
And I think probably also self-worth is, and self-love are obviously tied together. And this idea that I don't deserve more, or this is what, I deserve to suffer on some level, or that I just accept this level of I tolerate this life versus I live my life the way I want to live. I just accept that this is what it's going to be, and it takes loving yourself to recognize that you deserve more and that you're worth more than what you're currently getting or putting into life. But the thing is, and I think this is why addiction often travels in families, is because by no fault of your own, you didn't know how to love yourself because you weren't taught how to love yourself, right? On some level. Because if your mom, and this runs in your family, your mom then subsequently struggled with self-love on some level. And there's no judgment in that, but it's how can I know how to love myself if no one's ever taught me?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't judge a baby for not being able to run a marathon. You know what I mean? It needs to learn and grow and develop. And there are things that we learn that are passed down to us that we watch through example. And you are one of those people that are like breaking generational patterns within your family. And the anyone who's listening to this, who you were just speaking to, who knows that they're stuck in a pattern of addiction or have a problem, and maybe they come from a family line where this is a common thing, to stand up for yourself, to start to choose a new path, is to redirect the entire family line going forward. And I know you know that, but what does that mean to you, knowing that you are standing in the gap for so many, for future generations of your family, but also those who are still living and the women and the men that have come before you and your family?
Yeah, I mean, it's, and I've had many conversations with, you know, even my mom about this, because she's gone through her own recovery, and she is also, we learn together, me and her, we learn the same lessons together. So it's really cool. And I have only ever had compassion for what she went through. I know,
for sure.
I know what she went through, and I know what my grandmother went through. I know where they came from. And so there's never any part of me that ever thought that it was their fault.
Sure.
So having so much compassion for just what we didn't know. And it makes me extremely happy to see my mother healing. It makes me extremely happy to see my sister and her babies and the way that she parents them. Even though she didn't struggle with anything, any addiction or anything like that, but she is also breaking those patterns. And it makes me so happy to see my family in that place, you know, and I think something that's so important that my mother also told me is radical responsibility, right? And like, you have the capability to take control of your life. You have the capability to choose something different. You might not know what it is, but just make a move.
Just not this.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to be that you love yourself tomorrow. But you can choose to not be a part of that pattern anymore. And all it takes is a choice. And as soon as you make that choice, the methods will start to present themselves to you. As soon as you make that choice, I'm not going to live in this anymore. And I think the power of choice and the power of radical responsibility is so important. I think that the self-love and the self-compassion for me came later. You know, that was something that I had to learn, and really understanding the self and who am I, because that probably didn't come until a few years after I got sober. I call it my second awakening. It was really my spiritual awakening, where me getting sober was me choosing a healthy life. It was me choosing to live, basically, you know, and then my spiritual awakening that happened a few years later was me finding out, what does living mean?
Oof.
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Let me land with that. So deciding to get sober was you choosing life. And your spiritual awakening was learning what living really means. I hope y'all hear. I hope you got that. Because there is so much in that. Because we can be quote unquote living, because we're alive doesn't mean we're living. There's, I can't remember. I think it was one of my favorite books that I listened to it on Audible. There's some books that I just like love to listen to, especially when they're read by the author. And Oprah is one of my favorite favorites to listen to. And she has a book called The Wisdom of Sundays, and she interviews incredible thought leaders. And I can't remember which one it is, but he talks about death and how many people are so focused on what happens after we die. And he says, I'm more concerned about if there's life before death.
Mm.
Because just because you're living doesn't mean there's life. So talk to me about what that means. What did that awakening, when you start to awaken to what does it really mean to live, what did you find in the midst of that question?
Yeah, I had built this life, you know, being sober for, I think it was like 3.5, maybe 4 years at that point. I had built a life. I had a great career. I was in a great relationship with a beautiful man who, you know, we were very well off. We had the houses and the cars and the dogs, and my life from the outside seemed really great. And I was dead inside. And I think the pandemic shifted a lot of things for a lot of us. For me, and I've told you, I read the book Untamed by Glennon Doyle, and it woke something up in me of me realizing that you don't have to just live in a box. And I was just doing what I thought I was supposed to. And that shifted everything for me, because I was like, I want to be on fire all the time. I do not want to wake up and just glide through life. I want to be radically in love with everything I'm doing, the people I'm surrounding myself with. And so I left my relationship. I moved in on my own, got a new job, pretty much just dropped this life that I had built for myself. And I chose living, and went on for about six, I would say I had a dark night of the soul, if you will, for about 6 months to figure out what does that mean? You know, who am I? I stripped away all of the definitions that I had given myself of my job title. I was a fitness instructor. I was a personal trainer, nutrition coach, like all of those things. I'm like, who am I without all of those things? Mm-hmm. What do I love? What sets me on fire?
My core, my essence, my being.
Yeah.
Not just what all the things I've done.
Yeah.
And what I've curated, but like when all of that's gone, what's left?
And I got down to the I am, right? Mm-hmm. And that is when I started my journey with God.
Woo! I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I had been in the church for most of my life, I left the church in my late teens and didn't know what God meant to me. I always knew that there was something there.
Yeah.
I was always very spiritually blessed. And so I knew that there was something there, but it was really tough for me to ever reconcile the church that I was raised in versus the God that I know.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what that was. So I researched a lot of religions. I got sober through a Buddhist recovery program, actually. You know, I was in yoga, and so Buddhism, Hinduism, all of that is very close to my heart. And so when I got to the point that I'm shedding all of these layers of myself to try to figure out who I am and what I want, I got down to just the I am. And then I realized that the I am is love energy, which is God. And then I really wrapped my brain around the oneness and like love consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is when I started to understand what God meant to me, and that I am one with this love energy, this unity, this source universe. I am one with all of that. And so that, I would say, was probably, you know, more profound than me getting sober, was that awakening. And it was hard. I mean, it was 6 months of just confusion. I didn't know who I was. I had just gotten out of this relationship with like this beautiful man, and I didn't know what I wanted out of a relationship. I never wanted to get married,
mm-hmm.
Never wanted to have kids. And my whole perspective just shifted
mm-hmm.
around what it means to live a life with an open heart and to choose love.
Yeah.
And what that means is that you have to be willing to also endure the pain. If you want a life that is fully beautiful and lived full out, then you have to also accept the potential pain that comes with that. You have to accept the full spectrum of the experience.
Yeah.
You don't just get to choose, you know, the love and the joy. Like, you have to go into the pain.
Well, people think love and light, love and light. Yeah. That's all there is. It's like, well, I mean, you want the love and light, you got to go through the dark.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There, we live in a world of duality and contrast, and you can't skip through that. You can't bypass that. Like, that is the thing that makes you one that, like, allows you to have the fullness of gratitude for when you do get to the other side. And what you were saying about the I am and getting down to that, that I am connected. And if there are people out there, like, use that, if nothing else, as a mantra that you just speak over. I am connected. I am guided. I am connected. Like, that is a truth that you and I stumbled across, you know, we're by the grace of a higher power, because we were also seeking for it. And when you get to that, you realize that you've always been connected. You've just been living under the illusion that you're separate. And that idea that you are separate and that you are disconnected, it is what causes you to do and behave and act in all of the ways that are destructive to your own life. And when you come back to that truth, you realize that there's no need for those things anymore, because you have the thing that you've been searching for, that, or the thing that you, you know, you think is out there. If I just get the relationship or have the cars or have the money or da, 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 then I'll be connected or I'll be loved. And when you access that, you're like, oh no, I have that right now. Then I don't need to look anywhere else. I just need to be myself and be with myself and live with an open heart. But living with an open heart inevitably makes you vulnerable.
Yeah.
To pain and to being hurt. And yet, even though that is a real reality and that still happens, because we are not immune to being rejected or being hurt, we have access to a truth that will always get us through that. Because now I know this to be true for you, and I know it is for myself. I'm able to keep my heart open because I know I have the tools necessary to heal it if it does get hurt.
Yeah. And those tools and practices, I mean, that is what, you know, my business is now, is because I've gone through, you know, I started in fitness and nutrition, and then I went through a lot of therapy and mindset, mental health, emotional health. And then I went through the spiritual journey. I have kind of run the gamut of tools, and I've built up this toolbox. And so those tools and practices, it's like, once you get to that knowing of that truth, that is what I call the awakening. But there's many awakenings, and the path to a well-lived life. And when I say, like, what does it mean to live a life lived well? It's consciously using those tools and practices on a regular basis. When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, it's creating that discipline in your life, creating those practices and rituals to bring you back to that truth. Because I'll be the first person to say, you know, with my type A personality running around, like, I will find myself getting stuck in the lies, you know, and I will find myself convincing myself that, oh, I have to do this, this, and this, or, you know, the rug's going to be ripped out from underneath me, or these people won't love me, or, you know, and it's when I have my tools and practices, when I am good about my meditations, when I'm good about, you know, moving, the gym, yoga, like, those are big things for me. I stay centered. Mm-hmm. So I'm so passionate about those tools and resources that it's like, once you get to that knowing, which is everybody's own journey, what are you going to do from that point? What are you going to choose?
Yeah.
You know, to live a more expansive life, because that knowing is only the beginning.
Yeah. Well, because it is, it's a choice every day, every moment, really. And not just a choice of what you're going to do, but what are you going to think? Where are you going to put your time and your energy and your attention? What are you going to feed with your focus? Because whatever you give attention to, you get more of, and it grows. And for me, I think what you said is so important, and people need to know that it's not just a one and done thing. You have the awakening and you're connected and you're just like, oh, I don't even, I'm just good to go. No, this is an everyday commitment. And we don't always get it right, but we've intentionally curated people in our life to remind us and to help us when we get in those holes. But also, one of the things I've adopted is becoming aware of when I'm there, when I'm not choosing those things. And I'm like, why do I choose to participate in the creation of my own suffering? Mm. And it becomes like, I refuse to participate in the creation of my own suffering. I'm not going to be the one. Like, there are things that are going to happen that are beyond my control. Mm-hmm. But may it not be said of me that I'm the one that put myself here, you know, and that I continually choose to be the victim of my circumstance or to feel bad for myself when I know there are things I can do, like work out or get in nature or sit in meditation or journal or whatever it might be that will help me reaccess that truth.
Yeah.
And when you love yourself and when you're learning to love yourself, you realize that it is loving to give yourself that gift.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And some people just need to take the actions to get there. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not even necessarily that they love themselves first, just like it was my experience that I was like, okay, well, I know that working out is good for you. Yeah. So, and I know that cutting out processed food is better for your health. So I'm going to keep doing those things. And then eventually it led up to this self-love, mm-hmm. you know, but yeah, it's when you understand that you are fully in control of not necessarily what happens to you, but how you perceive, how you process, how you deal with life. It takes a whole lot of willingness to look at the darkest parts of you. And I think that's hard for a lot of people. I think it's really hard. And like, it's still hard for me. Mm-hmm. It's still hard for me sometimes to sit.
I don't think it's easy for anybody.
No, no. But it's like, you have to choose and be like, oh God, I don't like this part of me, but I love myself anyways. And we get to grow, mm-hmm. and we get to change, and we don't have to stay here.
Mm-hmm. That's my thing right now. It's like, I didn't come here to stay the same. Mm-hmm. I didn't. So I can be a new version of me today if I choose to. I can make a new choice. I can change my mind. I can go in a different direction any moment I choose. I don't have to wait for January 1st.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And our choice is our superpower, and it will change the entire direction of our life. What does life look like right now for you? And what are you excited about? And what are you working on?
I'm excited about so many things. I know. Life is beautiful. I mean, the community that we've created in Las Vegas, I mean, it is the most nourishing, beautiful, heart fulfilling thing. It's everything that I have always wanted. So that right now is just, I'm just sitting in the juiciness and the goodness of all of that. But, just like you said, like surrounding yourself with people who are also going to like not only lift you up, but also call you to move higher, to be better. So that is something that I'm really excited about because I'm just surrounded with so much love, building these events. So yeah, we have the Radiance Wellness and Music Festival that's coming up. That is a huge love child of, you know, me and our mutual friend, Mariliz, and, really everybody, I mean, everybody in our group in the city, just everybody is involved. And it's such a beautiful creation, and it's really all about just bringing these tools and resources to an event. Mm-hmm. So it's, how can we grow together and also just get deeper into the community, meet like-minded people.
Yeah.
So we have a few different events that are coming up, and just working on, you know, basically working on a new project that is meant to help get tools and resources out to anybody in any stage of their healing journey. So whether that's like, you need to find a therapist and you don't know a good therapist, or you would like to work with a relationship coach, or you just want to take somebody's online class. So we want to be able to be an easy access to whatever kind of resources you need at any part of your journey. So
yeah, that's so exciting. I can't wait till that's ready. I know for those who are listening and inspired and want to get in the rooms with people like you who, have inspired them, but also can teach them the tools that they need to change their lives from the inside out, to live a life that feels as good as it looks. We want to share with them how they can get involved, especially if they want to come and participate in Radiance this year. I will be there. You will be there. So many of our Worldpack community will be there showing out. So please tell people, I know tickets are going on sale. If they're not on sale already, how can people plan to be there, and how can they learn more about you and find you on your corner of the internet?
Yeah. Yeah. So Radiance Festival is on sale. We have early bird tickets, and we also have VIP tickets. So we will have some special VIP offerings, a little bit deeper connection with some leaders in the community. So more to come on that, but area 15, so 15, not area 51, because some people think that's what it is. Area15.com on the events page is where the tickets are on sale, but you can also find us at Live Unlimited. So it's live and then un and then limited without the vowels. And that is the page you find us on Instagram, Facebook, and our webpage has all of our upcoming events on it. So yeah, well, we have more to come. There's a lot of exciting stuff in the works, and yeah.
Yeah. Well, this will not be the last time you're on the show. Oh, we'll have you back for sure, because there's so much we could talk about, and this is just the beginning. And I'm so excited that people have gotten the chance to get to know you and hear your story and be impacted by, you know, the power and of your mind and the choices and the responsibility that we have to, you know, take responsibility for our lives and our futures. And you are such a beautiful representation of the transformation that can occur when you get fed up and you like, you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And sometimes that's what it takes to say, I'm going to do, and live differently. And I'm so grateful that you made that choice and that you continue to make that choice every day, because it allows me to grow and learn and, have someone that I dearly, dearly care for in my life. And I wouldn't have that if you hadn't made that choice. So thank you. We're going to make sure to put all of your information about Radiance, Live Unlimited, and your personal information on the show notes so people can connect with you. And I want to see all of you guys at Radiance Festival this year. Come give us a hug. Come tell us how this inspired you. And please share this with a friend. Whether it's you or someone you know in your life that is struggling with addiction, you are not alone. And that is not the end of your story. And you can be a hero to somebody if you share this with them today. And it might just be the thing that they need to hear to transform their lives. So please do that. And if this show has touched you in any way, I invite you and ask you to to do the best thing that you can do to help this continue to grow, which is leave us a rating and review on Apple or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast, and subscribe to our YouTube channel so you can see our faces whenever we are having these conversations. You don't just have to listen to us. We are on YouTube and you can watch these conversations every single week. I love you. Thank you for being part of this community. We'll see you next week on the Coachable Podcast.